Welcome to episode 226 of the Tent and Thrive podcast, brought to you by Tent and Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. Tent and Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we turn to the book of Romans, the 35th book in our series, 50 books of the Bible in 50 weeks. Romans 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The man who pens these words to the fledgling Christian church in Rome has personal experience as the beneficiary of grace. Acts 9, verses 15 to 16. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Some scholars argue that he is the most important person in Christian history after Jesus. Much of the book of Acts chronicles his missionary activity. He writes at least 13 of the 27 New Testament books. He plants churches. He mentors numerous disciples. He is to the early Christian church what Moses is to the children of Israel. The difference is that while Moses brings God's people out from the Gentiles so that Israel will be able to do God's will, Paul brings God's word from Israel to the Gentiles so that the Gentiles can do the same, that is, to do God's will. But his story is one of redemption. His testimony reveals that no one is beyond the saving grace of the Lord. The early life of the man who will become known as the Apostle of Grace is marked by religious zeal, brutal violence, and the relentless persecution of the early church. Still, it's not how he starts, but how he finishes that makes the difference. Paul is born as Saul in Tarsus in Cilicia, a province in the southeastern corner of modern-day Tarsus, Turkey. He's of Benjamite lineage. His parents are Pharisees, fervent Jewish nationalists who adhere strictly to the law of Moses and who seek to protect their children from contamination from the Gentiles. Anything Greek would have been despised in Saul's household. Yet he can speak Greek and passable Latin. His household would have spoken Aramaic, a derivative of Hebrew, which is the official language of Judea. Saul's family are Roman citizens, but view Jerusalem as a sacred and holy city. At age 13, Saul is sent to Judea to learn from a rabbi named Gamaliel, under whom Saul masters Jewish history, the Psalms, and the works of the prophets. His education continues for 5 or 6 years as Saul learns such things as dissecting scripture. Saul becomes a lawyer, and all signs point to his becoming a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court of 71 men who rule over Jewish life and religion. He is zealous for his faith, and this faith does not allow for compromise. It is this zeal that leads him down the path of religious extremism. In Acts 5, verses 27 to 42, Peter delivers a passionate defense of the gospel and of Jesus in front of the Sanhedrin, which Saul would have heard. Gamaliel is also present and delivers a message to calm the council and prevent them from stoning Peter. Saul might also have been present at the trial of Stephen. We know he is present for the stoning and death of Christianity's first martyr. He holds the garments of those who participate in the stoning. After Stephen's death, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. Saul becomes determined to eradicate Christians, ruthless in his pursuit as he believes he is acting in the name of God. Acts 8 verse 3 states, "He began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison." The pivotal passage in Paul's story is Acts 9 verses 1 to 22, which recounts Paul's meeting with Jesus on the road from Jerusalem to Damascus, a journey of about 150 miles. Saul has asked the high priest for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for permission to bring any Christians, followers of the way as they are known, back to Jerusalem to imprison them. On the road, he's caught in a bright light from heaven that causes him to fall face down on the ground. He hears the words, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He replies, "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus answers directly and clearly, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." From that moment on, Saul's life is turned upside down. The light of the Lord blinds him, and as he travels on, he has to rely on his companions. At the Lord's instructions, Ananias, a disciple from Damascus, ministers to him. Through prayer, Saul receives the Holy Spirit, regains his sight, and is baptized. Saul immediately thereafter goes into the synagogues and proclaims Jesus as the Son of God. The people are amazed and skeptical, as Saul's reputation is well known. It takes some time to convince the Jewish people of the persecutor's conversion. Saul spends time in Cyprus, Syria, Turkey, Greece, and ultimately Rome. Three of his lengthy missionary journeys are documented in the book of Acts. As he spends more time in Gentile areas, he begins to use his Roman name, Paul. He spends his post-Damascus life proclaiming the risen Christ throughout the Roman world, often at great personal peril. It is assumed that he dies a martyr's death in the mid to late AD 60s in Rome. Besides church planting, we see Paul writing epistles, letters, to establish church communities. He is serious about the work of pastoral care, edification, and nurturing the newly established churches. Romans 16 verses 1 to 2 indicates that Paul probably writes Romans while he is in a Greek city in close proximity to the city of Corinth. Paul's mention of Phoebe, a resident of Greater Corinth, establishes that place as a likely background for the letter to the Romans. It is likely written during the third missionary journey described by Luke in Acts. On this third journey, Paul is visiting the newly established Galatian churches. While there, he discovers that during his absence, false teachers have convinced the members to submit to circumcision and to keep to other precepts of the law of Moses. Fearing that his opponents might reach Rome before he arrives there, Paul writes a letter, the book of Romans, to forestall the same tragedy from happening in Rome. It is believed that the epistle to the Galatians is also written from Corinth during Paul's 3 months there. We will explore what he writes to the Romans in the next few days. But before we explore the theme of Romans, what can we learn from the life of the writer of the book, the Apostle Paul? First, we learn that God can save anyone, even a bigoted, fanatical, murderous, close-minded, merciless man like Paul. Is there someone today whom you believe to be unworthy of redemption? Romans 9 verses 15 to 16, "For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy." To us, Paul may not have been deserving of mercy, yet God shows him mercy anyway. Second, we learn from the life of Paul that anyone can be a humble, powerful witness for Christ. Arguably, no other human figure in the Bible demonstrates more humility while sharing the gospel of Christ as Paul. Acts 20 verse 19 tells us that he served the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to him through the plots of the Jews. Finally, we learn that anyone can surrender completely to God. Paul is fully committed to God, as we can see from his many writings. Father, thank you for the example of Paul, who knew the outcome of a life well lived for Christ. Like the persecutor turned preacher, help us to surrender our lives, fully trusting God for everything. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.